Today we celebrate the last Sunday of the liturgical year. In both rites, but in this rite, the Pauline rite, very controversial as it is, the last Sunday of the year is where the feast that we celebrated a month ago already is celebrated. The solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. And of course, the reasoning for that was that we should end the year in the same way as the world will end, when Jesus returns in glory, seated on his throne, with his angels, the armies of angels, the legions of angels, and judge everyone. Now, the vast majority of those to be judged already will have been judged. You and I will be judged at the moment of our death, instantly. You're going to heaven, but you have to go to purgatory for 1,000 years. You're going to hell where you wanted to go. So there, enjoy it. And don't complain, because I won't listen. So, sounds like a mother or a father who punishes a child who has done wrong, and then they cry and kick and whatever. No, no, don't do that, because it's useless. You have chosen. So there, enjoy it. And that's the way it will be. The only problem is, it will be for eternity. St. Bernadette Soubirous, the visionary of the wonderful apparitions of Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception at Lourdes, said that if men knew what eternity was, they would not waste 1 minute. They would not commit one sin. Because the fires of hell, the horrors of the fires of hell, you cannot even imagine. And they are eternal, for eternity. Now, purgatory, as we have seen this month in particular, is not eternal. Purgatory will end with the end of time. And those who are in purgatory at that moment, if they have not yet made up for their sins, will have an intense pain, more than you could possibly imagine. And then they will be cleansed and purified and polished up so that they can enter into the glories of heaven. And so here we have these apocalyptic readings, the ones that, and that's one of the places where it began in the Old Testament, the apocalyptic readings from the book of the prophet Saint Daniel. I saw one like the Son of Man, that means God, oddly enough, coming on the clouds of heaven, seated on his throne. And the Son of Man received, because now he is also true God and true man. The Son of God from eternity, the Son of Mary from the Annunciation. And so the human part of Christ, true God and true man, receives dominion, glory, and kingship. He already has it, but this is what St. Daniel is writing. All nations, all peoples, and languages will serve him. And his dominion will not be taken away from him. Now, this feast in particular, of course, the reality of this feast, the kernel of this feast, goes back to the time of the Incarnation. It goes back to the beginning of creation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is indeed the eternal King. But the liturgical reality of this feast took place in the reign of His Holiness Pope Pius XI of happy memory. It was right after World War I. World War I was a war waged basically by the Freemasons against the Church and against all the kingdoms of the earth. After World War I, Almost none of them were left, except some who were already Masons, like England. They're neither king nor Christian. They're Masons. As much as we, especially the Americans, we love and drool after Queen Elizabeth and King Charles, whatever, who cares? They're Masons. And they're heretics. The king or queen of England is the head of the fake Church of England. What does that tell you? It's zero, zero, zero. Three times zero is still zero. Not very ecumenical, but I never have been accused of such a thing. But all the other kings, all the other royal families were cast out. Among them, to whom I may be related, the Habsburg king, Blessed Charles of Austria, a great and wonderful man who was the emperor, the Holy Roman Emperor. All that wiped off. And he was sent with his family. They had like 10 children with Venerable Zita, his wife, his empress, into exile, where he died of consumption. All the kingdoms were gone. So the Holy Father needed to remind the world that even though these kingdoms had fallen, there is a king. And Jesus Christ is king. His kingdom does not come from us. We have not crowned him. He crowns himself. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit crown him. All three persons of the Trinity. And he is not only king, he is a creator of the universe. And he is also, as man and God, the savior of the universe. So in every which way, he is eternal king. And so the Holy Father wanted to establish this, to reiterate this, because people were forgetting. They were enamored of these new democracies. And democracies are not worth a dime for the most part, if you haven't realized it by now. And so, that which Christ is to the world and to the church is something different. He doesn't receive his kingship. He is king. We do not crown him. He gives to us a share of his glory. And so today, in the Pauline Rite, we celebrate this feast, established by His Holiness Pope Pius XI of happy memory in the holy year, I believe it was, of 1925. And we're about to celebrate in 2025 another holy year, a holy year of redemption, of forgiveness, of reconciliation between God and man. And of course, in this diocese, it will be a very special holy year, because it will be the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee. And so we have many reasons for which to celebrate. And so today we honor our King. We bow our heads to Him. We bend our knees to Him. We worship Him. He is the only God and King of the whole universe. He is indeed our King. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.